Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are going to begin a new series today, and we're going to begin in Genesis 1, going through 2, 3. And Tara has 12 different
passages,
thank you, that we're going to study in this time. So we have three peeps with us today, and we want them to introduce themselves, starting with you.
Hello, my name is Linnell.
I am Taylor.
And I'm Hannah.
Yay! So Linnell's a graduate of Grace, and Taylor and Hannah are working their way towards that. And I'm excited about this series. We're going to be covering 12 story sets within the Bible that will take us through what that would be a mini meta-narrative of what God has done in Scripture. And in my orality class, I train my students to have a solid understanding and the ability to communicate these 12 passages, because that will enable them then to give like a bigger picture, to be able to give a synopsis of the Bible. Very few people have actually read the Bible cover to cover. And if you went into a group of people and you just said, hey, what's the theme of the Bible? If you're talking to somebody that, you know, has been a believer for a long time, who has studied the Word, they'll be able to do that. But by and by in the bigger community, people don't know how to pull down the theme. If you ask people, have you ever sat down and been in a room where somebody has actually given a summary of the Bible, fewer people will have ever done that, like including pastors. And many years ago, I don't know how long ago, I don't know, Sandy, if you remember this, but I used to go out and do a summary of the Bible. It takes about 45 minutes for me to do it. And so you tell it in story form what God has done, pulling out just key points to help get the full message so that people can have an understanding. And I was blown away by people's response to receiving a summary of the Bible. I remember one time I was in a, what would be like a health and fitness facilities. One of the water instructors had asked me to come, which was like the most unusual place I've ever been to go and do a summary of the Bible. And it was a room full of people who did not know God and who had not studied Scripture. And they were like enthralled. It blew my mind. And I had predominantly senior adults that were showing up for it. And so I was surprised by how few actually had had a full picture. And so what we're trying to do is, by going through these 12 stories, to get an understanding of the bigger picture of what the Bible has to say. Because we cannot understand the little narratives, the shorter stories, the smaller stories, and the different characters of the Bible, and what God's trying to reveal, if we don't have an understanding of the big picture. So that's why we're doing that. And go ahead.
I just wanted to know, do you still have that on your webpage or on your podcast?
I do. It's on my YouTube tape? Channel. If you go to YouTube and search Tara Rye, and then I think probably Bible Summary, it's in there. Okay. Yeah, my YouTube channel has, I don't know, a couple of hundred of different aspects of my students' storying, whether it's here in the United States or in Israel on site and location. And it has different times that I've actually storied as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's where you could go get it.
Yeah.
And it is on my webpage, I guess, as well, if you click on the YouTube link at tararye.com. Great. All right, so we're going to do the creation account, and I figured we're going to have Hannah probably start us off in reading it, because we want to get the context of the passage. When we're looking at this creation account, I want each of you to be thinking, what's your first memory of hearing about the creation account? And won't you be ready to share after she's read the passage to us?
Verse 1 through...
We're going to go through 2-4, chapter 2-4.
Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters, to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made the space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky, and evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came, and that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds and of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals of the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. Chapter 2. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth.
May God honor the reading of his word. It's a long passage. It took about just a little shy of 4 minutes to read. And one of the things that needs to happen is we should be reading and listening more to passages of scripture. And I know for myself, I've been teaching this class now for over 4 years at Grace University. And starting the year off with Genesis is crazy amazing. People who teach oral strategies are like, "Why did you start with creation? That's one of the hardest accounts to have people retell." I'm like, "Yeah, well, if they can make it through the creation account, they can handle any of the other narratives that we'll do." As we go through the passage, we want to see how it's broken down, and you can break it out by using the days, like use a number for day one, day two, day three. And I train my students to draw within a number what they're wanting, or they could do grids of folding a piece of paper six spaces and doing the days that way, and then on the other side count it as the seventh day. And so those are some of the recall things that we would use to help us to recall the passage, because it's not an easy passage to recall because there's a lot of details that are happening. So let's talk about, what's your first memory that you have in hearing the creation story?
My first memory, I just remember being in the church that I grew up in when I was a kid, reading like the hardcover books that have, you know, like 5 or 6 pages just telling you the very basics of the creation story, but showing you like each page would be, now God created the sun and the moon, and now God created the animals. You know what I mean? Very, very vague for a 4-year-old. But that was my first kind of memory of flipping through that book and getting the visual of the pictures of all the things that God did. And yeah, that was probably the first thing I remember.
That's cool. How about you guys?
One of the first memories that I have with that is when I went to VBS when I was little. And then I remember doing like a song with like dance and hand signals for morning and night, and you know, the fish, and that's honestly all I can remember. For
Do you remember those hand signals?
No. I mean, I could make some up on my own.
Yeah. How about you, Hannah?
I think it was probably a combination of both of those, but I do remember my parents using like little children's Bibles that had that story in the beginning, and that was always like fascinating for me to see all the pictures and the way that like each book was a little bit different and showing how beautiful it was that God created everything, like all the different visuals of the stars in the sky just like flying into existence. And yeah, all the animals like hiding with the trees and the flowers. It was beautiful to me.
That's awesome. Do you recall?
The first, no. I'm speaking with age and wisdom right now.
Do you know, Sandy, no. I don't recall my first experience with the creation account either. It's really funny. I tried really hard to go back, and I can only get into my adulthood. And as a teacher who taught preschool at Houston's First Baptist, I can remember teaching all the things from what you guys are saying, using the picture books and using the art images, using hand motions and dance, using everything I could to teach it to my class. But until that point, I don't have a recall of anybody specifically. And I did do vacation Bible school. I did not grow up in the church, so I wouldn't have that experience. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And so I honestly don't recall when it was first taught to me. I think it may have actually happened when I started teaching it as a preschool teacher.
I do remember the last time I thought it was different and interesting. I've mentioned before Pauline was a minister in a mission in Africa, and she has a little booklet that she would use with the natives there to teach about the Bible. It's really a neat book. I should bring it and show it to you.
I would like to
just
see
real
that
small
for teaching purposes. I'd love that. Okay, so with that, what is your favorite part when you hear the creation account? What captivates you? What stops you in this passage? Anybody have?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the cliche answer, but after every single thing that God created, he said that it was good. And it just reminds me, you know, as especially now in our time, there's lots of things that we can get caught up in that we end up worshiping or putting on too high of a pedestal. And it doesn't mean that those things are bad. Like, God created all of these things and they are good, but it's just how we, you know what I mean, how we treat those certain things that God created. So even at the very end when he creates man, a lot of times we put man and our relationships with people and stuff like that ahead of God. And I just have to remind myself often that God created everything and he has a good purpose for everything. But sometimes, you know, me as a human, I just don't view it that way. But I just think every time that I read this, I'm always taken back to the basic of God created this. He said it was good. So it is a good thing. It was made with a purpose, and God has that purpose for it, whether I treat it that way or not. Like, that's what he created it for. Simpler things, I mean, I'm kind of talking in a specific thing, but he created the day and the night. Like, even you can take advantage of that. And I just have to remember that God has a good purpose for it, and he created it in the very beginning, and he said that it was good every time.
That's beautiful.
Plus, he spoke it. I love that.
Yeah. That he spoke and it
spoke
happened.
And it happens. Yeah, I love it.
Okay. How about you guys? What stands out?
For me, that the creation isn't presented like extremely detailed, like, oh, the ribosomes and DNA or the fish gills are used for this, which reminds me that just because God doesn't reveal everything doesn't mean that it's not there. Like, we can, like, we don't have to know everything. Because God does, and so I think I'm reminded that in creation that not everything he's going to share, and eventually we'll
That's
know
good.
Some stuff.
Good point.
And stuff
good.
We won't.
Very good.
I think I'm also the same lines as like the very beginning of just having like nothing. Like, I can't even like imagine nothing. That just in my brain, it just doesn't make sense. But to have nothing and to then to have everything. And I had a speaker in high school for a chapel, and he just explained like the power of God's voice and just the fact that God can speak something and it shows up. And I think that's like the initial like, pow of power that I see, and I'm just blown away that, like, that's mm-hmm, how he mm-hmm. decides to start, is by saying there was nothing and then there was me with everything. Mm-hmm. So, that's and good. He's always mm-hmm. he was always there. So
that's good. That's so good. I've been reading through the Bible since 1992, 93, and, you know, trying to go through it cover to cover. Some years I'll do it in a year. Some years I have taken where I'll do 2 years. And I think at different times in my life, God will make different things, like, hit me. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to do with what's going on. But I just remember with the hovering of the Spirit of God over that which was formless and void, like, it blew my mind at the vastness of void, and that the Spirit of God hovers. Mm. And he hovered with the intent to speak life into existence. And the purpose ultimately for that life was that God wanted to be in relationship. Mm-hmm. And that he wanted that. And so the purpose was very intentional. And so thinking through the intentionality, it just kind of like, whoa, blew my mind away. And then recently I was listening to a sermon by Tim Mackey, and he's one of the designers for the Bible Project. And he said, as you reflect on the fact that it says it is good, it is good, it is good, you need to remember he does not say it is perfect. Uh-uh. Not once. Not once did he say it was perfect. And that kind of caught me mm-hmm. because thinking of myself as his creature, creation, and that sometimes I can put the pressure on myself of perfection. Mm-hmm. And God says, very good. He does not say perfect.
Yep.
Only Christ alone is perfect. And so I think recently I have been really meditating on that value and that it's very good. And in the last year in particular, I've been praying through that God is good. He's good at what he creates, and he's good at completing what he's begun. And I can trust that goodness. And just that repetition of praying those a lot in my life has caused me, in circumstances with Grace closing and just different stuff happening, to where it's caused me to have a sense of peace and a sense of confidence and assurance because of the reflection on his goodness and the fact that he created us and said it is good. Mm-hmm. And that it's just beautiful to be thinking on these things. Mm-hmm. And so when you have we need you to come back and listen, because we're at the end of our time. And so you need to come back, and we're going to dive in and we're going to enjoy creation for the next few weeks. And I know for myself, it gives me a sense of peace and calm every time I hear it. God bless.